this is week three of our Sermon on the Mount sermon series. I hope that you've been reading along. I hope that you have plans to go through and read this. I'd say once a month. I would say maybe once a week. Might not be a bad idea. But the Sermon on the Mount is something we need to read, and chapter 6 is what we're reading today. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. You're going to get a good overview of that whole chapter, but I would encourage you to do a deep dive yourself later on. Week 1, we have the Beatitudes. We learned exactly what Jesus' disciples and the whole crowd learned that day. They sat on a hillside. There were probably thousands of people, but over 2,000 years ago, they got this message from Jesus, and Jesus basically said, you can't live like the world lives. You just can't. You can't live like the world lives. And he tells us you're supposed to be meek, you're supposed to be humble, you're supposed to be peacemakers, you're supposed to be willing to be persecuted for Christ-like. He gives them a whole list of things that, hey, the world doesn't live like this, but you are. And that's where the Sermon on the Mount started. Last week, I told you how it gets even harder from there, right? The sermon was titled, Forget What You Heard, because more than once in that chapter 5, Jesus says, you've heard that it was said, and then he would quote an old law, and he would say, you've heard that it was said, thou shalt not murder. And everybody would say, sure, we shouldn't do that. But then Jesus went on to say, well, not only should you not murder people, you're not supposed to hate people. You're not supposed to wish them dead. You're not supposed to sit around thinking they're worthless and nobody would care if they die. He says it's who you are, right? He says you've heard that it was said, don't commit adultery. He says you're also not supposed to be committing adultery in your heart and in your mind. You're not supposed to be lusting after other people. He said it matters who you are on the inside. Not that you just don't do things, but that you don't want to do them. That you live a life of pursuing the opposite of those things, right? And so that's where he gets, that's where he gets through chapter 5 in Matthew. And so we learn that Jesus is concerned not just with do's and don'ts, but he's concerned about changing who you are. He wants to get into our lives. He wants us to be more like Christ. And when you change who you are, it changes how you behave. So how do we do that? We tell you this all the time, but you repent of your sins. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short, so we repent of our sins. We put our faith in Jesus Christ, and when you put your faith in Jesus, he gives us the Holy Spirit to live in our life, to help us. Paul understood this. In the book of Romans in chapter 12 and verse 2, Paul wrote, we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So Paul thought, okay, when you accept Jesus, he's going to completely change the way you think about things. So then that changes how you behave. Makes complete sense to him. Well, today, as we look at chapter 6, we're going to talk about the personal you. The personal you. Now, a personal you is the you that only you know and God knows. Right? Because there's lots of things you can do or not do, but motive has a lot to do with that. Right? Have you ever been in a relationship and somebody did something and you said, yeah, but you only did that because I asked you to. I want you to do it without me having to ask you to do it. Right? Motive mattered. Even though a person did a good gesture, right? If your husband never does kind gestures for her and she goes, I just wish you would buy me flowers sometimes. And then the very next day you got flowers, you're like, well, that's not what I didn't mean just because, right? If you're smart, guys, you make more than you wait a couple of weeks, and then you maybe she won't connect. But that's what it is. If you're only doing it because it's a do or don't, it doesn't quite qualify, and God's trying to tell us that, right? And so in that first chapter, I told you, he said, I get it. The law says don't kill people. So you don't kill people because it's in the rules, right? He said, but I don't want you to sit around thinking about killing people either, right? There's more to it than that. So today what happens is, as he's telling us the inside matters, he goes from do nots to the do's. And he talks about some of the things that Christians are supposed to do, but that the motive behind it matters too. And so it's very important. Let me give you a quick rundown of just some very specific verses. Again, read the whole chapter later. Matthew 5, 6, and 7, read them all, but I'm going to give you some blips in it today. Matthew 6 and verse 1 says this. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Right? So his first step is when we're doing good, when we're giving, when you're doing great things, make sure that you're not just doing that to show people how good you are. In Matthew 6 and verse 5, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Matthew 6, 16. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to be men to be fasting. All of those verses, three things that Christians should be doing, right? Giving to the church, giving to the poor, helping those in need, praying, fasting. These are all things Christians do, but he says when you do them, so he does want you to do them, right? I want you to do these things, but when you do them, don't do them for the praise of men. Don't do them for the praise of men. Be careful that you have proper motive when you follow Christ. Let's start with giving for just a moment. Now, some of you, I don't know if you've noticed, I know some of you have. Some of you aren't on the internet as much as some of us. You don't have to be on very long to see one of the things that's very prevalent. One of the things that's very prevalent right now is I get a video camera, or I get my cell phone, or I get my wife to get a video camera and her cell phone, and she follows me, and you get to watch as I help homeless people. You get to watch as I give a poor person money. You get to watch as I hand out things to people who are less fortunate than me. People, that's horrendous. That's exactly the opposite of what the Bible says. First of all, stop humiliating people. How about that? How about, do you know how embarrassed and ashamed so many of those people are, but yet you just put them on the internet? Hey, look how poor and dirty these people are. And why did you put it on the internet? You weren't trying to get other people to do that. You're able to do that because you have, and get this, they have millions of dollars, right? And so what they do is they make a video of themselves doing that. You watch it. And as they rack up millions of views for giving out money to the poor, it's making them more money. And they say, well, I can only do this because you watch. But you're giving a portion of it. You're just giving a little bit to those people. And then you're just making bank off exploiting people. And what's the reward in that? Right? What they're getting is, everybody saw me do that. And God says, when you do that, well, that's your reward. People thought you were cool. I don't. That's not. He says, do it in private. You want to help somebody? That's fantastic. That's great. People, do what God wants you to do. Nobody has to know. Nobody. You can know that you did what was right. You could know that you're behaving the way Christ would. And that's what he's trying to get these people to understand. He says, those goody t-shirts over the church that you see that are always up in front and always wearing the dirty clothes and always making the offering real loud. And Jerry just tells the story of the guy that would scratch his ear with the big bells at church because all the people behind him know how big the bell was. That ain't impressive. That's not impressive. In fact, in the Bible, Jesus saw an old lady one time give in her last little bit of money, and he said she gave more than everybody. It's not about that. It's about you being sincere and kind and loving and doing things for the glory of God. That's what it's about. He says the same thing about prayer. One of the things they would do at prayer. Now, there's nothing wrong. He's not trying to tell you as a pastor not to pray up front. Right? That's not what he's saying. He's not saying that if I had you all stand up today and I called on one of you to pray, he's not saying that. Don't pray in public like that. Unless when I pray up here, or if you prayed in the pew in front of everybody, you belittled other people. If you talked about how good you are and how bad other people are. If I decided that I need to write out this just wonderful prayer because it's got to sound perfect and it's got to make, it's watch how impressive this prayer is. That's the problem. And one of the things the Pharisees would do, they would get up front, and it would literally be like me today during prayer time. So whenever I'd stand, and I'd have you stand, and I'd say, God, thank you so much for not making me like Joel. I know he's got so many problems, and I know it's probably because of his sin, but because that I have lived good, that's what they would do. That's literally what they would do, and the people over there on, am I horrible? Why am I so bad? Can you imagine doing that? No, it's terrible. And so he says, hey, don't act like that. When you pray, have you ever seen somebody and somebody said, well, it's good they're out witnessing and they're out doing things for God. Have you ever noticed those people that stand in the corner and yell about God and pray at people and you ever thought, I think they might be causing more harm than good. You ever had that, cross your mind? Kind of what the Pharisees were doing. They would stand on the corner and make this big show, but it really wasn't about God. I just have to praise you, right? If something happened in public, right, and everything was fine, and you wanted to praise God in the middle of the street, God's fine with that, if you're really praising God. But if you're doing that so that everybody around you sees what you're doing, stop it. Cut it out. It's not impressive to us. It's definitely not impressive to God. Do you understand? If I went up to the Fun Fest this week, and I happened to bump into Joe, and I said, oh my goodness, Joe, you're not even supposed to be here. I just want to pray with you. Can we pray? And we're just happy, and we hug each other, and we have prayer on the street. That's fine, because we'd be glorifying God. But if I saw Joe, and I thought, oh, here's my chance. And I thought, oh my God, I need to have prayer for Joe. And all of a sudden, I made this big show because I need everybody to know that I'm a pastor in town, and listen to me pray. That's a problem. Now, somebody might think, well, they prayed in town. That's great. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's not. It's the motive. It's what's going on inside of you. Prayer is communication with God, not showing off for man. Right? And so what we're supposed to be doing is praying to God. And in this very chapter, he teaches us how to pray. This is where we find the Lord's Prayer. Now, I'm not going to put it up here behind me because I can't. But I will ask you to repeat it with me, and I'm going to watch all your mouths. If you get the words wrong, I know you don't know it. So, I'll do this. I was at a funeral with a long one, and the guy says, we're saying the Lord's Prayer, and we're saying trespasses. That's the right, and then, well, I did that before the service even started. He goes, before we started, I need to make a clarification. I'm going, this is probably about the funeral dinner or something. He goes, well, we say the Lord's Prayer today, and we're going to, at this church, we use the word trespasses. I was like, okay, don't say debtors. You want to get kicked out because that's the main problem we have in the church today. So just let you know, we'll say trespasses. So say the Lord's Prayer with me and think about it when you say it. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So he teaches them, he says, here's the prayer. And if you just, even as you just said that, listen to what he says. He says, it's God's name that is to be hallowed. Not you, not me. We give God reverence. He said, that's the first thing you have to do. Then you seek his will. Not your will, not what you want. We want to ask God that his will would be done. And guess what? I'm not going to pour on everything I've ever wanted. I'm not going to just beg God for all these things. In fact, I only need enough bread for today. I just need enough bread for today. And God, please forgive me because I want to be able to forgive other people. And help me stay out of trouble. Help me to be more like Christ. Because everything I have is yours. People, it can be that simple. One of the things we do is we mark up all our prayers and we're naming it and claiming it. Right? We're treating God like a genie. We get the prayer time. We just tell God what we want. Just tell him. Right? Why don't you just name it? Why don't you put it on a vision board? Why don't you just... Well, I'll tell you why I don't do that, because I've read the Bible. And the reason I don't do that is because I revere God, and I know that I don't want anybody around. Literally. I don't want anybody else more than around, but I certainly don't want God around. And so when I come to God, I come to him in reverence, and I thank him for all that I have, and I praise him for what he's already done, and I put my petitions before him like the Lord says, but whatever he wants to do with him, he is free to do, and I completely understand that. And God, whatever you get me and give me will be good enough. And we praise him anyways. That's just the deal. And I told Joe Santiago, I said, Joe, if you get 2 days or 2 years, you're going to praise him anyway, right? Yep. That's what real prayer is. God, I love you. I praise you. And it's not about me. It's not about you. We talk to God. And so I want you to understand that when we pray, it's not all about us. It's certainly not trying to be impressive to other people. It's about God. And then he talks about fasting. Right? Same thing. A lot of you over here, I know you fast. I know you have fasted. And some of you, the only reason I ever found out you were fasting is because I kept trying to feed you, and you finally had to say, I'm fasting. Can you quit it? Right? Oh, sorry. Right? But let me tell you what they would do. They would come into church, though, and they'd be like, oh. Until somebody goes, are you okay? No, it's just, what's wrong? I've been fasting. Fasting so long because, you know, I'm so spiritual. That's what they would do. Instead of God, I'm fasting, God sustains me, God takes care of me, it's going to be fine. People, I can guarantee you, there are people in this room that have been fasting way more than a day, more than a week, and you never knew it. One, because God was taking care of them. She would have wanted to tell you, I can't tell you how long my wife was fasting at one time, and none of you knew it. Because she didn't come in here going, oh, I can't make it, I'm so weak from not eating. No, because God was taking care of her. She was doing what God wanted her to do, and he sustained her. Right? And she spent that time praying more, reading the Bible more, seeking God's word. But you don't put it on for a show. If you want a fast for show, how do I even know you're really fasting? Because if you're worried about impressing men, well, then we already have a problem, right? So if you want to fast and you want to pray, that is between you and God. That is your spiritual walk. Now, if you happen to talk to somebody and you say, will you pray alongside me? I'm going to be fasting for the next week. That's about the only time you tell somebody. Or if as a church, I say, there's a very special need and we need to pray and fast this week and put that aside. That's fine. During Lent season, there are people who, you know, notice how I feel like they got to tell everybody what they gave up for Lent? None of our business. None of our business. Why do I need to know what you gave up? Did you give it up for me? I hope not. Talk to Jesus. There's so many things that we need to be spending more time in talking to him. Now, one of the things I can tell you is in all those things that we've just talked about, God is trying to get them, through Jesus, to understand, listen, I care about who you are, right? It's not just the do's and don'ts. Who are you on the inside? Because there are things that you do and you don't do, but if you're only doing it for yourself, if you're only doing it so you look good, it's all for naught. It's absolutely pointless. And you know, this is a portion of Scripture that many people know, and sometimes they don't know where it is, but right after he told them all those things, this is what he said. In Matthew 6:19-21, he said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I don't know if you've noticed, I think Jesus was a pretty good preacher. I don't know. I'm crazy, right? I mean, if you read this, all of this just flows. You just read and it flows, and he's telling them stuff they shouldn't be doing, stuff they should be doing, and then he's talking about stop trying to impress men, and then he goes, listen, guys, you're not supposed to be worried about earthly treasures. You're not supposed to be worried about impressing people. You're supposed to be putting your treasure in heaven. So keep doing good. Keep praying. Keep fasting. Keep being like Christ. But don't worry if anybody here ever notices. Don't worry if anybody here ever gives you a pat on the back, because you will be storing up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And that's what matters. So that's how we change how we live. We change from the inside out. Jesus wants to change you, and this chapter really is about the personal you. Because we can do a lot of good things, and we can do a lot of bad things, but if you're avoiding bad things and doing good things all for show, there just really is no point. We are to be made new in Jesus Christ. And when you are made new in Jesus, you think differently. And when you think differently, you behave differently. In fact, in that chapter 6, if you go home and read it, after this, it gets to a part where he talks about the eyes being the lamp of the body. And I can tell you, when you meet Jesus, you see everything differently. The eyes really are the lamp of the body. And when you look out, right, you see everything differently through Jesus Christ. And then he gives us something else to look at. He says in 6:24, which goes perfectly with everything else, he says, no one can serve two masters. Right? And you might think we just say that by itself, because he does give the example of money there. So a lot of times you'll get people preaching that portion of Scripture, and they just bring up that a lot of people try to serve money and God at the same time, and you can't. Well, really, he gives you money as an example, but people, the list of things that people serve instead of God is endless, right? It goes on and on. He's just giving an example. But do you notice what he was talking about these whole chapters? He's talking about us worshiping man, worshiping ourselves, worshiping the world. He said, you're doing everything for everybody else. You can't have two masters. You know you can't do that, right? And so I looked at you today and I said, are you trying to impress God or are you trying to impress man? Because you either serve God or you don't. It's one of the two. So that's what Jesus says. And you can't have two guys. You can't go running around trying to impress people and then at the same time thinking you're impressing God. It doesn't work. And so we have to understand that. Now, he ends this chapter with something that I think he gave me a new way of looking at it. How many of you know the Bible says not to worry? It says not to worry, right? We know that. The very end of this chapter, he has that whole, this big diatribe of, therefore I say, do not worry. He says, don't worry about yourself and what you're going to eat and your body and what you're going to wear. He says, aren't you more than just food? And isn't our life more than things like that? And I know people use that scripture and they preach it about worrying, and it's very important. But one of the things we have to notice, he said, therefore. Whenever you say therefore, that means I'm talking about all the other stuff I just said, and it's attached to it, right? So the first two sermons and today tie into this. He started teaching them, right? He said, hey, you got to act better. You can't act like the world. You can't do stuff like that. And when you are doing good things, stop doing it to attract people. Do things for God, right? You got to store up treasures. And at the same time, you got to stop worrying. Now, if we attach the worry to what we've already talked about, in my mind, the more I've studied this week, I think one of the things Jesus was trying to really say was, you can't worry about the things the world worries about. That's why you're worried, because you think like the world. Let me give you a good example. How many of you could have gotten straight A's in school but never did? Yeah, right. How many of you got that lecture more than once? Right? There's no doubt in my mind that I could have gotten straight A's from kindergarten, probably through college if I wanted to. If I really applied myself, there's no doubt in my mind. If I applied myself and studied and worked hard, could have done it. Didn't care. I can tell you when it started. About sixth grade. You know, that's the age when you notice there's girls, right? That's the age when you notice it matters what shoes you wear. That's the age when you can start playing sports at school. Do you understand? What happens is, you start worrying about all the stuff that doesn't matter. Right? So I go to school, and I'm too busy yapping, talking, flirting, running around, practicing after school, trying to think of the funniest thing I could say to make everybody laugh. Right? Arguing with the teacher when you should just shut up and learn. Right? And so I'm missing and thinking about all the things I'm not supposed to be doing instead of concentrating on what I'm supposed to be. Now, let's just relate that to our lives. How do we mess up our Christian walk? Because we get so caught up and worried about all the things that don't matter. We get so caught up worried about what somebody thinks at work or what they're going to think of me or what if I miss this because I'm going to church. Do you realize all the things in our lives that we get caught up in that literally don't matter at all? Nothing. Not at all. They mean nothing. But we're so caught up in them that it literally transforms who we are. It transforms how we spend our time, how we spend our money. Everything about our lives revolves around worldly things. And so I think after these chapters and after he's been talking, Jesus gets to this point and he looks at them and he says, guys, stop worrying about all this garbage. Stop worrying about stuff that doesn't matter. And so what I convey to you today is that if you put these three together, and we're not even gotten to the fourth sermon yet, but if you put these chapters together, what Jesus is saying is, I want to change your life. I want to change the way you look at things, and if you allow me to change your heart, it will change your mind, and it will change the way you live. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. It really is. And we can't do it on our own. We've all tried to be good people. We've all tried to be better. We've all tried to stop things we know we shouldn't be doing, to start new habits. But guys, we need God's help. And Jesus says he'll provide that. And so today, that's your encouragement. Allow God into your life. Accept Jesus Christ. Allow the Holy Spirit to transform you, and it will change everything you do. You'll feel so much better. I mean, you will feel, and I mean this, not only will you be a different person, you will feel completely different. You'll sleep better at night. You won't carry around a burden feeling bad about what you said or what you did or where you went. You won't start thinking about, I hope nobody finds out what I did. You want people to know certain things about you. You'll love it when somebody realizes that you're a Christian and that you're following him. People, be transformed. Change the personal you, right? The you that nobody knows, that's the one I want you to think about today. You can all fool me. You can come in today and tell me, hey, Pastor, great to see you. God bless. This is going to be a great day. And you can hate my guts all while you said it. But that's on you. But that's on you, right? So what I want you to work on today, I want you to read this Sermon on the Mount, but I want you to think just about yourself. It's easy to read the Bible and think about other people who broke the rules, right? It's really easy to read and go, oh, wow, that reminds me of somebody. I know somebody. This time when you read it, just think about you. Just think about what you could do to be more like Christ, and he will change your life. Would you stand with me this morning?